You've heard of BetaShares. You've probably seen the logo on our podcast. You might even be among their 1 million investors. So you can imagine that I'm delighted to say BetaShares is the official ETF partner of the Australian Finance Podcast. With nearly 100 exchange-traded funds, you can go to betashares.com.au and immerse yourself in ETFs and unique insights covering all of the sectors, themes, core and satellite positions you could want. Think cybersecurity through the HACK ETF, robotics and AI with the RBTZ ETF, and uranium with the URNM ETF. The list goes on. To explore the BetaShares ETF range, visit betashares.com.au, read the relevant PDS and TMD on the website, and consider if the fund is right for you. BetaShares Capital Limited is the issuer. Welcome to the Australian Finance Podcast.
I'm Kate Campbell.
And I'm Owen Rask.
And we're here to give you the tools and knowledge to invest both your time and money better.
If you're new, feel free to jump in with our Starter Pack series that aired in early 2022, or our Shares or ETF mini series.
We've got plenty to share with you in today's episode, but if you want to catch us on socials,
head to Rask Australia on Insta and Twitter.
I'm also found at Kate Campbell AUS on Insta.
And I'm Owen Rask AU on Insta.
Just beware of the fake accounts. We'll never DM you about trading strategies or crypto. And if it sounds a bit weird, it's probably not us.
And just one final heads up before we get into the show. This podcast contains general financial information only. Welcome to this episode of Money and Chill on the Australian Finance Podcast. As always, joined by Kate. How are you going?
I'm doing well, Owen. We came back.
We're here. Money and Chill 2024 style. And of course, we're joined in front of the camera this time by Monique Pitsicar. How are you going?
I'm great.
That's good. Normally, Monique's behind the camera. She's in front of it now. So it's a bit of a change up
once
for you.
Once in a lifetime.
Except it happens about every month, every 4 to 6 weeks. So, but once in a lifetime, if this is your first time hearing it.
Well, many of you may be listening to Money and Chill for the first time because you joined us for our summer series this year that was running throughout January. So if you haven't gone and listened to that, there is topics covering career, ETF investing. There's a bit of everything for you if you've just had a break from podcasts over the summer.
And lots of the Money and Chills that go back in time cover different topics. They might cover some savings lessons or hacks, which is typically what's included in every episode. But sometimes it's a bit of a theme. Like one time we talked about saving money on your energy bill and how easy that was. We've talked about how to get started investing, these types of things over time. But these are pretty much once a month, a bit more casual. For anyone that's new to these, a bit more relaxed, a bit more
chatting money with your friends.
Yeah, these types of things. So if you like these episodes, let us know. On Spotify, there is a feedback box, which we will, and we always do call for feedback on these episodes in particular, because then we use your feedback for next month's episode if you have some of your own things to share with us. And if you're on Apple, well, too bad you don't have a feedback box. But you can get in contact with us via the link in your podcast player that says ask a question. And that allows you not just to ask a question, but also just to say g'day, submit your feedback, give us episode ideas or guest suggestions, which is something that we love too. Don't worry, I listen on Apple as well. So I'm one of those as well.
I'm converted. I'm Spotify all the way now.
Really?
Spotify. Yeah. Always been, always will be.
Oh, get out of here.
You know why?
That's spoken like a true former Android.
You can have music and podcasts lined up in your queue so it alternates.
And it's, it does have audiobooks now, free credit.
Yeah.
Yeah, 15 hours a month on Spotify.
I've never listened to audiobooks before that has happened, so I'm liking it.
Spotify. Yeah.
Thank you. Monique loves a bargain.
Yeah. I love a bargain.
Yeah, that's good. Good for you. And it's not long enough to listen to Poor Charlie's Almanac, I don't think, as far as I'm aware. That was quite a long book that I listened to over summer. Kate, how did you want to get started? Rather than jump straight into my wonderful book recommendations, which there aren't many of them, what do you want to talk about?
What I wanted to talk about today, since we're kicking off the year, and even though it's near the end of Feb and maybe we're 1/6 through the year already, which is terrifying to say out loud, I thought we could talk about what we want to learn or improve with our financial life this year, because there's so much emphasis on putting your financial goals in place in January. And to be fair, we did some goal setting episodes in January as well. But I really want to sort of stress that it's never too late. You can start setting financial goals or targets or things you want to work on at any time. And so if the end of February is when it is for you, then that is fantastic.
Like, I always wanted to rank higher than Hamish and Andy in this podcast charts. And this week we did.
Yep.
Did we? Australian Finance Podcast
just in Spotify. Business. No, just in Spotify.
Why is Hamish and Andy in the business charts?
No, they weren't. It was in the overall charts for podcasts in Australia. The Australian Finance Podcast ranked higher. The only true business category podcast ahead of us was The Wonderful She's on the Money with Victoria and Jess and the team over there. So, yeah, there's a little goal. Tick that
pretty
off.
Cool.
All of one day maybe 2 days ahead of the
greats. Did they release any episodes in January?
Probably didn't release one episode for the past year, but there we go.
It still counts.
Finance. Knew it was going mainstream. Here we go. Yeah, so first question.
Yeah. So what do you want to learn this year or work on when it comes to your finances, Owen? Monique, who do we want to start with?
Do you want me to go first, Monique, or?
I'll go first.
Okay, go.
Okay. So, I guess this year I've kind of changed my extracurricular activities from DIY and crafts.
Why is that? Didn't you get a sports-related injury?
I have a crochet injury.
Oh, wow. Okay, go. Tell us
so
more.
So I think I need to take at least 6 months to a year off crocheting. It's actually pretty serious.
Wow.
My hand, it's full on. I need to wear a compression glove at home.
It's carpal tunnel or something.
Yeah, it's similar to that situation. It's fun times. Yeah.
Did the doctor diagnose you as crochet injury?
Yeah, it's a thing. Yeah, I'm serious.
Wow.
It sounds ridiculous, but it's a thing. Heaps of
crochet
people get
injuries.
It.
Don't try this at home.
You went pretty hard last year. You were making us all blankets.
I went pretty hard since COVID, so it's been a good 4 years of constant crochet.
We normally try and protect people from scams and those types of things on the podcast, but we have introduced potentially a very hazardous occupation for them. By inviting you on the show and saying, hey, what do you do in your spare time?
You potentially
put everyone's hands at risk.
I mean, who would have thought?
Yes.
Just such an innocent task.
So crochet in moderation, anyone listening.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so I can't do that anymore. So I'm getting more into the sports. And it's been quite a few years since I've gotten into the sports. So I discovered that there's free tennis courts around most city councils, whatever. So there's a free tennis court near my place. And I've been going there twice a week or once a week. And instead of paying for a gym membership or whatever, that's the most exercise I've done in 4 years.
But you are into Pilates as well now.
Pilates, that's also a recent thing. So I've just put all my crochet energy into being more active. And I feel like that's been a good thing.
Do you like the social element too?
Definitely not. Nah. The Pilates class I go to is not social, which I enjoy. And tennis is a one-man sport, so also I enjoy. But there are free basketball courts and stuff. So if you are more of a social person, then I'd suggest maybe doing a basketball type
activity. I know around South Yarra and St Kilda and that, the basketball scene, the public basketball scene is pretty big.
Yeah, exactly. Really cool. And that's when you can get a few friends together and be more social and hang out and stuff.
I know a lot of people that want to make new friends in their area have joined social sports, and that's been a really great way to meet people. So
if I do, then I can always go that way. But for now, I'm happy being one-man sport, yeah.
Is there etiquette around you're only allowed on the courts for so long or someone else rocks up, you respect that?
Yeah, funny you say that because I've been kind of sussing this out, and the first couple of times I was there I didn't get a chance to go on the court, and I was waiting for 40 minutes, and I'm surely there's some kind of etiquette around this. But then the second and third time I was going, I saw people actually going up to the people and asking hey, when are you done, are you done, almost what time are you gonna wrap up or whatever. And so I've been doing that since then, and that seems to work. And then the people who are playing on the court get kind of the message that, it's time to wrap up soon.
Yeah, it's got to share it. It's like when you go to the pub and you put your $1 or $2 coin down for snooker or pool. Do you guys not know that?
I've never done it, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, so if you put your coins down, so when someone's playing pool, you put the gold coin down. Mm. Typically, that's a sign that there's someone else that's waiting to play the next game.
Mm.
So then who's ever on there now then has to either put down more coins to say that they're going to keep playing.
Yeah.
Or if yours is there, you get a shot. And it's just a way to kind of filter through
along.
People. Yeah. I don't know if that still applies. Maybe people just go along and steal the money nowadays, but cost of living and all that. You know what I'm saying?
What is this gold thing on the table?
Yeah.
But one of my friends has joined a really low cost club where it's 70 bucks a year and for an evening membership, so they can play anytime after 6 p.m. And then I think they just pay a little bit extra for the lights at nighttime.
Okay, that's cool.
But then they can book it and they know they've got that hour slot. So I guess if you want a bit of certainty, you can do something like that.
Yeah, cool. Cool. What about you, Kate? What's one thing you want to learn or improve on with your personal finances?
Wow. The thing that I've been talking about for a while that I've finally taken action on is lowering my cost of food. Yes. Because it got a bit out of control last year. I wasn't even looking really.
Yeah.
So this year, what I've done, and it's been 3 weeks in a row that I've successfully done this, is plan out the meals for the week and then turn that into a shopping list and then go to the supermarket and making sure I've thought about which days I'm working in the city, which days I'm out for dinner so I'm not wasting anything, because I'm trying to reduce wasted leftovers as well, so I can plan out what I need and hopefully, so far, mostly avoid the top-up shop, which is, because it's an IGA, the one that's closest to me walking distance, it's been an easy way to rack up the grocery bill because, oh, I'll just grab four things from the IGA and suddenly $30, $40 later.
$13 of cheese later.
Sorry, IGA. Everything's sort of, it's very helpful and it's good to have that part of the community, but it, in terms of cost of living, one has to be a little bit more mindful these days. So that's working really well, and just making sure, making some lunches as an extra meal. So sandwiches, not every day. And so far it's looking like I am achieving it, reducing my grocery bills.
A little bit of a pause there, Kate. I wonder.
Work in progress. Well, I'm still going to the farmer's market, so I'm not sure. I did pay $17 for a pumpkin.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh, really?
A full pumpkin.
Really? Like a Halloween one?
Yes. And I think that was my mistake. It didn't taste very good at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently you should buy ones that are grey or striped on the outside. Yeah, I bought a bright orange on the outside.
Oh, like a proper Halloween one.
It was very flowery in taste. It didn't go all gooey and roasted.
Gross.
Sad.
So don't pay $17 for a pumpkin. Prep.
Meal planning as well. Yeah.
I'm not prepping too much. Okay. I'm not making five meals on the weekends, but planning and going to the supermarket with a planned list has been helpful. But I'm thinking I'll try click and collect next week because it's quite a journey. Buying a week of groceries at one time at the supermarket.
Woolies and all that tried to get people back into the stores as quickly as possible after COVID, so people would have that, oh, well, I may as well just get a cucumber while I'm here. Oh, look, there's Tic Tacs, you know. So now that there is the online option, it actually does, for a lot of people, avoid that kind of exposure, you know, of going in there and just having a shop for convenience or having to pick up one or two things and coming out with 10.
Yeah, I think click and collect's a good way to do that. I'm also trying to clear out a bit of junk. So Gumtree has been getting a workout recently.
Yeah,
so that's been good. Good way to get rid of things quickly and locally.
Yeah, cool. I like that. Do you use like community boards on like Facebook and that sort of stuff, or just Gummy?
Just Gumtree. That's the OG. I remember using it back in primary school to buy presents for my parents.
Nice.
Oh, really?
And my mom was a bit shocked when she realized I had organized for random men to drop off things at the house that I bought on Gumtree. Now I think it's a bit, maybe that could have been a problem, but at the time, like buying my dad a box set of Futurama secondhand off Gumtree and organizing for the person to drop it off at my place great.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, well, drop it off to your parents. That's probably the key thing there, kids.
When they weren't home online. So it was a surprise. So I don't know if that still happens.
Yeah. For me, I think I've spoken about this on the Australian Property Podcast last week or the week before. Just probably the big thing for me is scaling back goals, big goals, that is. Big, hairy, audacious goals, have now become, what do you say, medium, hairy, audacious goals. Moderate, hairy, audacious goals. So big, hairy, audacious goals is a bit of a play on the book Scaling Up, for those of you that have read it, a business book that you should read if you're in a business.
Because you love setting big, hairy, audacious goals.
Oh, yeah. If you've got a growth mindset, which
climbing
I'll come
Mount
to
Everest.
Yeah, if you've got a growth mindset, you can basically achieve anything, to be honest. Unless there's sort of some like obvious reason why you can't do something. You know, I won't go there. But there are many reasons why you can't do certain things you want to do in life. But for us, it was like a farm and these types of things. And what we realized is that probably, you know, if you're trying to start a family and these types of things, it's pretty difficult to sometimes get like borrowing capacity or to save up enough money quick enough so that you capture kind of like those houses and those properties before they run on you. And so while we have strategies to try and deal with that, I think it just comes back to knowing what's in your circle of control, your circle of influence, and just what's in the world around you that you cannot simply control at all or influence. And for us, we can't influence what happens to property prices. We can influence how much we save.
Probably to an extent.
To an extent. We can control how much we save, I should say, but to an extent. And we can influence kind of how we use our equity in our home. If you listen to that episode, I think it may appear on the Australian Finance Podcast. Over on the Australian Property Podcast, it's called Should Owen Use Equity Release to Buy a Farm? That's the title episode. And it's with Chris Bates, mortgage broker. And basically...
Should he?
Oh, well, yeah, I'm definitely going to release the equity from our mortgage. Absolutely. So for those of you that don't know what that means, it basically means, like, just use round figures, $1 million property, you've got a $500,000 loan, which means you've got $500,000 of equity in the home. Most banks will re-lend you up to 80%. So that's, in this case, $300,000 that you could take out, and you could use that to buy another property. You could use it for a renovation. You could use it to buy, 300 televisions if you wanted to, but it'd be an absolutely horrible idea. Or in my case, you could use it to...
Surely there'd be rules on what you can use it for.
No, because what you're effectively doing is redrawing it as cash. So it just goes and sits in a separate account.
So you can buy 300 televisions.
If you wanted to be crazy enough. Like, that's what the... So debt recycling...
Seems dangerous.
Debt recycling is the idea that you always maximize that 80%, sometimes 90%, sometimes 100%. You always maximize that. So you're constantly doing redraws, like every few months if you want to. But for me, equity release is a slightly different mindset. Mm-hmm. It's where you take up to the limit that you want, and then you plan long-term things with your money. Whereas a lot of the debt recycling community are trying to, like, calculate it to, like, three decimal places, how much they can get, revaluing their properties and doing all of that. For me, if you took that example and you took $300,000 out, I'd probably take that $300,000 and just invest it. And I'd work with my accountant to make sure that amount of money, the $300,000, is kind of separated from my existing portfolio and from my other household cash. Because what you can do, speak to your accountant, is you could use that money to invest, say, in an ETF that pays fully franked dividends, so it's tax effective, but also the interest that would be payable on that component of the loan, the $300,000, is tax deductible, provided that your investment is for income producing activities, which it is because I'm investing in an ETF. So that's all a bit long-winded, but that's basically the short story of it. Like, we're going to use that money regardless. It's just a matter of whether...
So you're going to get a mini farm, not a big one.
Yeah, we'll probably scale back that big goal. I am definitely not planning on having, like, a property portfolio. I think that's I just don't think that's a sensible way to spend and allocate money. I actually think in the next 20 years, it might work for some people, but at less... this is money and chill, and in the spirit of being chill, a more chill way to make wealth over your lifetime would be to take that money and just upgrade your primary home, and then use any extra money to invest in a share portfolio rather than the old school strategy of, like, three or four properties.
Hmm.
I mean, there's too many, like, you see it in the news every day. There's pressure coming.
Yeah.
And while it might work, like, property prices might go up, it's going to cost you a lot along the way, a lot of stress too.
Yeah. Well, you don't want your finances to stress you out.
Yeah. And that was a pretty big money hack for those of you that are listening or watching. But it's not the only hack we have for you today. So, Kate, what's been happening? What do you got? Money hacks, money lessons?
Well, I'm not sure if mine is a hack or a lesson yet because I'm trialing a different energy provider. I'm not going to say the name because until I properly try it out, I don't know if it is a good thing or a bad thing, but it offers a variable rate directly from the wholesale price.
Oh.
So I'm not paying a fixed rate for my energy.
For, like, kilowatts and peak and off-peak.
During the day, the cost is very low. But then during peak hours, when everyone comes home from work, cost is a lot higher, cost is lower during the night. It depends on what the grid's charging, yeah. I think.
So this is kind of like when Monique got Tangerine for her internet.
Tangerine is good, okay?
So a new name on the block, new kid on the block.
So, yeah, yeah. But it was going well until that day a week ago when there was thunderstorms. You might know if you're in Victoria.
Oh,
but during the day it was about 40 degrees and I get a notification from my app saying extreme energy price spike. We recommend not using anything. And suddenly it was going up to like $20 a kilowatt.
Oh my God.
What?
It was insane. Anyway, so I turn off the aircon, turn off any unnecessary things. And still, I was averaging paying $1 a day for energy on this app.
Yeah.
But on this particular day, it cost me $22.50.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
And I turned off the aircon as soon as I got that price spike warning.
Wow.
So And I think some of the power stations were having problems that
day.
Oh,
yeah, they went out. Yeah,
and
yeah.
lots of people lost power. So I didn't lose hundreds of thousands power.
Didn't they actually collapse?
Yeah, they did, yeah. So, like, I don't know if anyone around Victoria would know this, but, like, it was really bad last week.
Yeah. So far, it's looking like it's more expensive than my fixed price electricity provider that was the best value for me. I found using the Compare My Energy government website before. So I will... I don't know if it's worth trying in February, in March.
I feel like what you're saying might be a good idea if you had like one of those Tesla power walls.
Yeah.
You know, because the power went out at our place too and all the neighbours were absolutely decimated. So we were very lucky that only our roof flooded. But immediately Tesla sent me an email saying, power outage? Try the new power wall. Keep your power alive while the grid is down. I was like, oh, that's pretty good marketing. That's like 20 grand or something, isn't it, for like one of those things?
Oh, you don't have one.
Yeah, no, but I was thinking like if you're on variable rate power, you could charge a battery during the day.
Yeah.
And then when it gets expensive at night, turn off the grid.
Yeah. Well, considering working and studying from home most of the time, I've been trying to do all the washing machine, dishwasher, all of that stuff in the middle of the day, which was meaning it was quite cheap until this day.
Yeah.
But how often do those kind of days happen? Do you think if you used it over 12 months, it would end up being cheaper than using a standard electricity provider?
I don't know, because winter's normally pretty, like, the grid is pretty hectic during winter because everyone's heating their houses, which takes more energy than cooling it down.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. If anyone's had some experience with a variable rate electricity provider, you may be using the same one as I am, send us a message because I'd be really interested in hearing your experiences.
Cool. I like that. Mm. That's great, Kate.
So it's a test. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see if it's a hack or a lesson of what not to do.
Cool. Yeah. Tangerine. Nothing wrong with tangerine, Minnie, I might say.
Have you seen the ads recently?
Yes, the lemons.
Ads on TV.
The irony is you told me the other day that your internet was down. And I was like, that's cool. Who are you with? And you're like, Tangerine. I'm like, okay, cool. And then that night on the TV, I saw a Tangerine ad and it was the one with all the lemons in the room. And she was like, don't have a lemon for internet. When everything else goes down, there's Tangerine. And I'm like, ha.
To be fair, it was the NBN that was the problem day. NBN. So it wasn't
easy.
Even
easy. Beat up the NBN. Yep. Okay, go on. What's what? You got a secret for us?
Yes. Well, like after hearing Kate speak about energy, I just thought of something else. So I'll add that on. I'll say first. You know, I'm full of all the ideas today. Mm-hmm. Like when you sign up to an energy provider or whatever, so I don't have that many subscriptions, meaning like Netflix, Stan, whatever. I pretty much only have one. But I've been trying to source out recently.
You only have one? What's your one?
Stan. It's Stan. It just happened that way. There was something on there that I wanted to watch and I now never got rid of it.
I don't want to interrupt your flow, but Stan of all the streaming services.
But I make odd. I find random stuff in Stan and it's not bad.
Does that have your Vanderpump Rules show on it?
No, Vanderpump Rules, that's a different situation.
Kim K though, right?
So
Kimmy?
You do
Kim
have K, two Kim streaming K. services.
Yeah, but I skimp it off someone else.
Ah,
anyway.
Okay. Don't listen.
Pretend you didn't hear that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But I have been wanting or like just seeing if I was to get Netflix or something, what energy provider offers that as like a bonus. So, and I can't think of the one off the top of my head right now, but I did see a couple that didn't have bad like energy rates or whatever. And then it was like, if you sign up with us, then you get free Netflix.
Ah, yeah, cool.
I can't remember the AGL Netflix plan?
Maybe.
Yeah, it's coming up when I'm Googling
it. Yeah, okay,
I remember
that.
I saw some ads at the train station.
Yeah, because I literally thought about this last week.
Oh, gosh.
It didn't get me to switch. Can't live without Netflix. Join the AGL Netflix plan.
So I might actually do that. And then like I'll have Netflix as well.
There you go. So more like loyalty in the utility bill.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how Optus went into Optus Sport for any fans of the soccer or other related sports. I don't subscribe to Optus anymore, but I still got my Optus Sport subscription, probably more than the original phone bill because I can't live without the EPL. So cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
Ooh. I did have another thing. Are you gone?
Actually, I'm just looking. It's giving me a quote for electricity and gas monthly with the Netflix plan.
Yeah.
What is it saying? Like, you're on the hook for something big or is there something cheap here?
Electricity, $111 a month, including Netflix.
Yeah. So just electricity, no gas?
And gas, $147 a month. I don't know if that's cumulative.
Is that both? Well,
as we record this live and we try and search for Kate's new energy bill, next month, we may have an update. The case of her variable plan and has just consolidated into a Netflix-friendly AGL account.
No, they're including Netflix with ads. Oh, that is not as good.
Oh, that's the egg. Okay. But you could still watch the show.
Yeah, exactly.
$6.99, I believe that package is through Netflix, if I'm not mistaken, the ad-enabled one. Also, ad-enabled. I'd rather pay the extra few dollars. I think
you
we did.
You don't want ads when you're watching a Netflix movie, do you, Monique?
Yeah, look, I don't know. I don't have Netflix. I have no opinion.
She's a stan. Spotify person. Okay, yeah. So what was the other one?
I did have another one. So we're on a flight recently, and the lady next to us, I noticed she had, you know, those coffee sachets, those Nestle, get like hazelnut latte or something like that. She had one of those. So then when the flight attendant came down, she just asked for hot water. Hot water and two milks, she said. And then she put a sachet of coffee in the hot water, and it's like, that's so much better than airplane coffee. Am I wrong?
I don't mind the airplane coffee.
Really? I hate it.
I mean, it's not good, but like, it's the experience.
No.
Okay.
No experience.
I'll take that back. Yeah, but that's pretty common practice on international haulage because people that may have, say, allergies to certain things on the long-haul flights, they can find out in advance maybe what's on the menu or what's on like the, what do you call that, like mini bar thing?
Yeah.
You can say, for example, take your own Mee Goreng noodles on or your own cup of soup.
We've said that before, yeah.
And you get your hot water. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. I like those. Yeah. That's great. So I've got a quick few. We're going to be doing a travel plans episode coming up. All three of us have travel plans. So on the Australian Finance Podcast, Kate, Monique and I will be going through our holidays a bit and how to plan for one financially and also practically. But I am obviously in the thick of that right now. So booking.com has refundable bookings. It costs you a little bit more, but there is a lot of flexibility that comes with booking.com. So the way I think about it is kind of like it's a free insurance policy. You pay a little bit extra for that versus the one where you're locked in and you get maybe a good rate or whatever. But there are often times if you search, there are incentives for booking.com. For example, if you book through Raise, you can also get the incentive reinvested back into your ETFs. Or you can just go direct and just search on the internet for like coupons or these types of deals.
Cash rewards. Kind of things.
Yeah. Check it out. Booking.com refundable bookings is really important, particularly if you're going overseas. Not predicting another COVID, but you never know what might get in the way of your plans. Number two is calling your house overnight. We had a bit of a conversation about this recently. How often is your air conditioners, or are your air conditioners on?
Overnight or during the day?
Just generally. If you could give us any sort of estimate of how often you use your air conditioner.
Maybe just 5 times on those really hot days in the last month. I'd probably only put it on above 30 degrees.
Okay, over 30. Yeah right.
Same.
Turn it off overnight and open the doors up.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So.
Mine's probably, I put mine on overnight maybe 3 times in a month during summer, during the really hot nights. But that's because I get no breeze in my place.
Okay.
I would love a breeze.
See, I prefer to put my air conditioner on overnight. And then have the house cool while I sleep. But also then when I wake up, I turn it off. So it can be off for the coolest part of the day, hopefully.
Yeah.
And then turn it on again in the afternoon. So it saves me there. But I was also looking at some numbers on this. Canstar, link we'll put in the show notes. How much electricity does your aircon actually use? To cool your house is a lot cheaper than heating it up. So I've always held this view that like, we paid for a better quality air conditioner than we could have because one, we want it to last longer, fewer breakdowns, but also they're so much more energy efficient, the good ones. And we didn't get ducted put into our house. We didn't get evaporative, any of that sort of stuff, just split systems because they're so efficient and because they're so good these days. Mm-hmm. But you can we're talking over a full year, a couple hundred bucks for a good, hot, good big air conditioner. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, that is well worth the money, well worth it. So I put it on overnight. I use it more often. I don't really have to worry about heating the house up too much because it's so well insulated in winter. It's nowhere near as cool as it is hot. And finally, my third thing for this month is outsourcing. Got the lawnmower, got the whippersnipper, got the vacuum cleaner, got all that sort of stuff, but I don't want to spend my time doing it anymore. So we've already got a cleaner, but I was saying to the other half the other day that I want to once a year have like a proper clean, like a professional cleaning outfit come in and do everything.
Deep clean.
Deep clean. They steam the carpet once a year, worth the money, get them to come in and do it. And then also with the lawns and that sort of stuff and the garden maintenance, I actually, while I don't mind it, I just want my Saturdays a bit more free. And I'm willing to pay the money, you know, once or twice a month to have that done. That's a really important thing for me so I can have time to do other things because I'm already pretty time poor anyway. So it's got to a point where it's like, it's just worth the money just to get someone to do it. And I've always thought, well, if you can do it yourself, you do it yourself. Like, I always service my own cars, always service my own motorbikes, all that sort of stuff. I would always do myself, even renovate the bloody house. But not anymore. It's got to a point where it's like, no. You have to know when enough's enough and you can spend your time elsewhere. So that would be my lesson from recent times.
Nice. So you're going to try outsourcing deep cleaning and gardening this year?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we still have like, we do that, like we get cleaning once a fortnight. So I have that kind of other week where we do vacuuming and stuff like that. But yeah, it's well worth the money, well worth it.
I find it a very humbling experience to clean my toilet every week. Really connects you.
Okay. Yeah. That's all right. Maybe when you live by yourself,
you can grounded, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Yeah. It's good. And it's still really good to do. And like over Christmas, a lot of cleaners. Shout out to my cleaner. Actually, she's wonderful. She sent us a text message last year, and it's so funny. She runs her own business, and she's super in demand. She doesn't have any spots available whenever you talk to her about referring friends or family or whatever. But she sent a text message, I can't remember when it was, and it was like, I'm giving myself a pay rise from this price to this price. Thanks for your understanding or something. I was just like, that's so awesome. She's just been like, I'm upping the price. I'm not going to say that the price is going up. I'm saying I'm giving myself a pay rise. I was like, that's so cool.
Beautiful.
I was like, do it. Yeah, own it. That's so good. Yeah. But I just loved how she said it. So shout out to her for doing that. But yeah, it is humbling. It is humbling, Kate. Also, cleaning out the gutters is fun.
Yeah.
Do that before a storm.
Do
it before a storm. That's it.
All right, Owen. What's happening in the world of Rusk at the moment?
Well,
what do we need to know?
There's a lot. I won't take too much of everyone's time, but there's a lot behind the scenes. And as people know, most people that, you know, in the Rusk community don't listen to more than one podcast, at least regularly. So you might listen here to the Australian Finance Podcast, but you may not even know that we have three other podcasts, live shows, memberships, and many, many other things that we do. So just as a bit of an update behind the curtain, we're still pushing ahead with launching our own investment management service. So basically people will be able to come to us before the next Money and Chill. People will be able to go to the RAS website and invest directly with us. So you'll be able to invest directly in ETF portfolios. You'll be able to see what it is that we're investing in, why, as well as get reports, updates, free tickets to events, all the courses, basically everything. So you basically, by investing with us, I'll have to hold back on what I say because I make sure the PDS is available by then. But basically by investing with us, you will be treated to the highest standards that we can possibly treat anyone in our community. So it's called Rask Invest, which for those of you that a few thousand members that have joined us in the past will know, that's a play on words because Rask Invest was the name of our former investment service where you could sign up and get stock recommendations and all that, and it was really successful. So we're bringing that name back, and that's the new name of the investment service.
So you'll hear more on the podcast once that goes live. And
yeah, and for those of you that listen to a few of the other podcasts, some of the names, once it all goes live, you'll be familiar with some of the names who are contributing to that. So that's going to be great. Other than that, lots of people, and this is what I was just checking before we hit record, lots of people have decided to take up financial advice through the RAS group, so you can connect with a financial planner and get matched. 150 people already, or groups, I should say, because there's some couples and families in there.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember talking to Nicole Haddo for her episode that we released last week on the podcast, and she was talking about how her and her husband actually went and got financial advice together.
Oh, cool.
And how important that process was because it really, she was more of the money person in the relationship, but the financial advisor really focused on both of them and hearing their perspectives and goals and working on a plan together. So
that's kind of like couples
just
counseling.
Shouting that out. But
yeah,
it sounded like it was a really cool thing to do together.
Yeah, absolutely. And we get what we're seeing recently is a lot of parents and grandparents coming through for financial advice, particularly for things like It's been a bit worrisome, actually, for me. But a lot of people coming through to say that they want to release equity from their house, like we were talking about earlier on, but they're already in retirement, or they want to release equity from their super fund and give it to their kids to help them buy a house, which is what we're going to see, the generational wealth transfer over the next 20 years. Because Sydney's basically become unlivable for most people, particularly with interest rates going up the way they have. So for younger people without that nepotism, without the ability to get support, it's actually very difficult. But even those that do have that ability, some of the parents are now trying to take that responsibility on, which is also quite scary, to be honest, because they have their own needs that need to be met. So the financial advisors also acting as a kind of gatekeeper, if you will, a kind of support, an objective voice in that process, which is why you get help anyway. But we've had heaps of people come through, mortgage brokers, well over 200 now to come through to Blusk. We've had, I think, nearly 800 people have clicked the link that's in your podcast player that takes you to track a portfolio in Nevexa. A lot of our members click that same link too because it tracks our portfolios, yep. Our member portfolios in there. So for people that DIY our portfolios.
Because people might have heard us talk about ShareSite in the past. So Nevex is an alternative you could have a look at.
Yeah. So they're both great options. It's like, to be honest, they're both wonderful.
They're probably the only two options.
Yeah, I think there are other parties that are trying to work on similar tools at the moment. But
so they're a way for you to track your portfolio and performance and dividends and things like that.
Which is so important because a lot of people go through, particularly their first 3 to 5 years of investing, they don't actually know if they're any good at it. And the first 3 years, as we said, is an apprenticeship. It is hard.
Yeah, and we talked about that in the Q&A last week about how do you know if you are any good at investing in individual shares. And a huge part of that is tracking the performance and looking at how your ETF portfolio and your share portfolio have performed.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it took me quite a few years to realize, like in my early days, I was handily outperforming the market. And that's because I was doing it as a job as well as discovering how it actually works in practice. And I was under the influence of the Motley Fool, which is a great investing institution. And so I was very fortunate that I picked a lot of companies and owned a lot of companies that did extremely well. And then I did it as a profession. But a lot of people aren't fortunate like that. They kind of get tips off Hot Cropper or off the internet. And those things tend to go really badly pretty quickly. And so what you begin to realize by tracking your portfolio is you see which of the, if you use ShareSite and Avexa, both of them do this, you actually put your full portfolio in automated, as you do, Kate, with like the email forwarding or just integration. And you can actually see, if you look back over here, which two or three investments were the worst in terms of they really drew down the entire portfolio and which two or three went really well and lifted up the portfolio. And what you begin to realize is if you actually study that and you take a kind of like unemotional look at it and you just self-reflect, you realize that a lot of those losers probably could have been avoided through certain steps or having a checklist or those types of things. So it's actually a wonderful tool to help you invest better and to improve your behavior. We don't get anything for talking about them, by the way, just to let you know. The partnership with Nevexa is just because they help build tools for our ETF membership, for our core membership, and we can talk about their business so they can thrive and grow. And I've got a lot of respect for them. There's heaps of resources. This is probably if there's one thing that I want you to take away from this, other than knowing that we're launching Rask Invest, the thing is that every episode has links in the podcast player. We realized recently that some of those were getting cut off by the maybe changes to Apple's criteria, so you can't have as much text in the actual podcast player itself. But there is links in that podcast player to everything that we talk about. Everything. So go and check those out.
Yeah.
That's it.
Awesome. I thought we'd quickly include some of our books that we've read over the summer.
Yes, books, resources. You go first, Kay. You got the best list of us.
So I read Morgan Housel's new book, Same As Ever.
Yes.
I think it would be moderate feelings towards it. I think his first book, Psychology of Money, was really, really good. And I've recommended and given it to countless people. And I think Same As Ever felt a little bit repetitive to me.
As in repetitive in the book itself or repetitive?
The book felt repetitive.
Okay.
But I think that was the point. He was trying to just point out that there are a lot of things that just repeat throughout history and patterns and human emotions. So by the end of the book, you're like, yeah, things are really the same. And things in the book felt similar. I don't know if anyone's had a...
Yeah. And that would be a similar takeaway. And it's a similar thing to with Mike Kemp's book, The Ulysses Contract, in that a lot of like human nature stayed the same, right?
Yeah.
A lot of the, like, the, I think that the one that got me was in Mike's book, where he said, a lot of people talk about investing in quote unquote technology and like things like AI, and people are getting swept up about that at the moment. And admittedly, it's probably a massive step change in technology. Like, it's fair to say, you can go into GPT and you can ask some pretty crazy stuff these days, like create a video, as it was launched last week. But imagine the feeling when the person who traditionally relied on candles or a little lantern finally flicked on the switch on the, in their house and turned a light bulb on. Imagine that feeling of going from darkness to light artificially created and then watching that spread throughout the world. And then try telling us that AI is the biggest leap. Like, there are so many things, there have been so many things that have happened, and the only thing that's been constant that whole time is human behavior, people getting swept up and crashing out. That's, that was my kind of takeaway.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think if you're really interested in behavior and storytelling, then it'd be a good book for you. But if you're looking for something to learn about investing, I don't think it would be the book for you.
You go psychology and money first?
Yeah. I think that teaches you a lot more about yourself.
Yeah, same. Well, it's like required reading, Psychology of Money, to be honest.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I think just Morgan's been so hyped up that it was probably, I'd piped it up in my brain a little bit.
It's kind of like the 50 Shades of Grey movie by the sounds of it.
Is it? Interesting comparison. All right. Very similar. Well, if you've read Same as Ever, we'd love to hear your thoughts. We can share some different opinions in next month's Money and Chill. I also read Nicole Haddo's new book, Couple Goals. That was really good, especially if in your relationship, a lot of different things. It's not going to solve your problems, but it'll give you lots of things to think about.
Practical steps.
Yeah, and ideas and conversation starters. And she actually shares where they had disagreements or when they had challenges with money quite openly. So that might help go, oh, I'm not the only one having money difficulties.
As a journo, she kind of just says it as it is too.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, this was the problem.
Yeah.
You know?
She's very much like, yeah, and now we wanted to solve the problem.
Yeah.
So listen to her podcast that's come out recently on the Finance Podcast. I've been listening to Dr. Amantha Imber's new book, The Health Habit. That's really good if you want to build more positive habits this year, all research-backed. She'll be on the podcast soon. I'm halfway through Emma's new book, From Broke Generation, Good With Money. So there'll be a podcast episode coming out with her soon. And I think that's really good. Lots of experiments and from the psychology side of things.
We should have called this Author Month.
Yeah.
An author, Kate Campbell, interviewing other authors.
And also Ali Abdal, who I love. He's a productivity and self-development YouTuber and podcaster in
former
the US.
Doctor.
Former doctor. He had his new book, Feel Good Productivity. So I'm nearly through that audiobook as well. And I think that's just got a lot of fun, easy, practical activities that if you want to try small experiments with your life this year, you could give that a go.
Yeah. Like it.
What about
like
you, Owen?
Probably the three big ones that stood out to me. The first one is Poor Charlie's Almanac, which is a wonderful book. For those of you that haven't ever come across a website called mastersinvest.com, it's written by an Australian guy called John Garrett. This book, this website, Masters Invest, and this is how I'll frame this book. Masters Invest is a website that is built by this professional investor. I think he's based in Sydney or Brisbane. I can't remember where he is. And he's appeared on our Australian Investors podcast, and he's basically devoted his life to reading and studying great investing in businesses. Like, honestly, unbelievable amount of books this guy reads, and he documents all of them meticulously, which is what you'll find on mastersinvest.com. But when you go to his great reads page or the top reads, Poor Charlie's Almanac is the very first one. So this is at the top of the top of the top of the list. And so after many years of looking at it, I finally went and listened to the audiobook while fishing. Absolutely wonderful. Then bought the third edition, and you were a bit shocked at this. Spent $160 on Amazon because the book is about to come out in a new edition thanks to Stripe, as in the, you know, the payment system.
Yeah.
They've got their own publishing business, Stripe Press.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so the only reason I knew about that was because Charlie Munger, who passed away not too long ago, actually, he was interviewed by one of the co-founders of Stripe on the Invest Like the Best podcast, which is a wonderful interview.
Yeah.
And that's where I found out about the new book release. But the original book is basically just a – it's not written by Charlie Munger himself. This is the key thing. So even though it's Charlie Munger's book, it was written by Peter Kaufman, And what he did was he just went to Charlie's office. He got permission to go through all of his notes and got all of his research notes and his, speeches from the presentations that he made over his career and put them all together in a book. So, and then he gave Charlie a chance to reflect on whether he would change anything. So there were speeches that he made like the 1980s. And then in 2006, he gave him the chance, do you want to add anything to that? And he sometimes did and sometimes didn't. But regardless, it's all in this book and it's chronicled. It's absolutely wonderful. And I love, there are many quotes that I take from it. But this first one is, the world, I've actually butchered my quote here. But the quote is, to get what you want, you must first deserve it. And then he goes on to say, the world is not yet a crazy enough place to reward a whole bunch of undeserving people. So basically, to get what you want, you have to deserve it. And I just love that turn of phrase from Charlie because it just reminds us there's so many people out there that want to save more but don't. So many people that want to lose weight but don't. So many people that want to start a business but don't. You have to deserve to get to the point that you want to be at. And that often means hard work, a lot of sacrifice. And that's just the reality of the world that we live in. And I think if you want to grow wealthy and retire early, you've got to invest. That's how you deserve it. And if you don't do that, then maybe you don't deserve it and maybe you won't get what you want. And that's the reality. And I just love that turn of phrase from Charlie. And I love the book. I think it's probably the best investing / business book I've ever come across. Rule Breaker Investing podcast with David Gardner. Last week's episode was a blast from the past, volume 8, and he talks about so many different things, but one thing that stood out was patience. And finally, The Alchemist book, which I read over summer, and one of the easiest reads ever. I think it was voted one of the best books of the 20th century. I've never seen 3 million votes on Goodreads, but he has it. It was also named one of the 25 most influential books of all time. And basically, it's a book, it's a tiny little book, anyone can read it. It's a book about life and just finding yourself amongst all the chaos, basically, is what I'd say. Huh. And it was originally translated from Spanish.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So, a wonderful book. Paul Charlie's Almanac, Rule Breaker Investing Podcast with David Gardner, and The Alchemist.
All recommendations from you.
Oh, super highly recommended. The Alchemist book actually came via you, the community. So, thank you so much to everyone that sent in your suggestions via Instagram or Twitter. We've got about 20 books, as Kate was asking me before. Have I made my way through? Well, these are the first two. So
I remember you told me you were going to go fishing and read these books as you made your way around the coast.
Then I just got sick and couldn't get through them.
You read three, so that's better than nothing.
Yeah. The author, Paulo from The Alchemist, I've got this little note here. He was a famous lyricist in Brazil. But after the government found some of his words offensive, he ended up jailed and tortured on 3 separate occasions. He then fled to Europe, where he joined a small Catholic sect and rediscovered himself spiritually. He then went on like a missionary to Spain, which is how the book kind of starts. Hmm. Yeah, it's not about him, but yeah, that's how the book kind of starts. So, yeah, anyway, that's mine. I would highly, highly recommend Poor Charlie's Almanac, but it's not the type of book that you can pick up and be like, I'm just going to have an afternoon reading Poor Charlie's Almanac. Like it is.
It's heavy.
it's full on. Yeah.
All right. Well, we better wrap this show up, Owen.
Yep. Okay. So if you want to find out more about us, there's heaps of links in the show notes. We do have resources there, things for the show notes, the links, the books that we mentioned. Check that out. We do Money and Chill every month.
Send us in your hacks and tips and suggestions.
So normally we would feature some of your feedback and some of your tips and suggestions, but this is the first episode of the year. So please send them in for next month's episode. We'll get back with Monique in front of the camera.
Woo-hoo.
And get some more energy-saving tips that Kate might take up on the fly.
Yeah, I feel like mine was an anti-tip. I'm not sure. Well, we've got to leave it a full 30 days.
It could be a lesson, as you said.
But maybe, I don't know, do you just keep switching? Can you switch energy every month?
Maybe.
Is it a thing?
They won't want to know this. Big energy won't want us to know this.
Like, would this be better during certain months?
Don't know.
I have no idea.
Like, excluding peak winter.
I feel like we need to get Effie Zahos on the show. She might know the answer to this.
We need someone with data-driven approach, not a...
I saw Effie in Sydney last week. Said g'day to her. She's so lovely. And she's then I was donating blood this morning. Saw her on the screen. I was like, Effie,
lovely. Well, there she is.
Maybe we'll get her on the show to answer that question for us.
Yep.
Well, this has been heaps of fun, ladies. So thank you for putting it together, Kate, as always. And wonderful top, I might say. I love the The puff on the shoulders. That's great.
Got to be colourful.
Got to be colourful.
Yeah. It's too short to be dull.
Except for me, I'm in grey. Yes. And Monique, you too, in the pink as well, you guys. Making it work for Money and Chill. And everyone, thank you for listening to this episode. We'll be back next month with Money and Chill. Kate, as always, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thank you, Monique.
Anytime.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Australian Finance Podcast. We hope you learned something new and were able to take one thing away from this episode.
If you're keen to learn more, head on over to RASC Education and take one of our free money and investing courses. You could even become a RASC Core member for less than your Netflix subscription each month. And don't forget to subscribe for new episodes in your inbox every week.
Plus, if you enjoyed the show, we'd love you to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and send any questions our way via the link in the description. And before we go on, did this podcast contain personal financial advice just for me?
Absolutely not, Kate. Our podcast actually contains general financial information only. What that means is the information does not take into account your financial needs, goals, objectives, or even your situation. So because of that, it's important that you consider if the information is appropriate to you and your needs before acting on it.
If that all sounds a bit confusing or you're still working out what your needs are, it's a great idea to consult a licensed and trusted financial planner. And don't forget to do your own research.
InvestSmart's portfolios are turning 10, and to celebrate, 10 InvestSmart boot camps are up for grabs. This self-paced online course is ideal for both seasoned investors and those who are just starting out. Valued at $99, you could win a spot on this highly rated course. To enter the competition and for terms and conditions, simply visit investsmart.com.au/win. Don't miss out on this chance to learn from experts and take your investing to the next level. Simply visit investsmart.com.au/win. Good luck. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Before you go, I wanted to share some things with you. Specifically, I wanted to tell you about the 10 ways that RASC could help you in 2024. As many of you know, RASC has grown to become one of the biggest investing and finance platforms in Australia. Across our podcasts, our websites, our memberships, and so on, we now engage around 200,000 Aussies, which, considering we started in a humble lounge room on a Kmart desk, one of those old fake white wooden ones, I'm pretty ecstatic about where we are 6 years later. As part of becoming one of Australia's biggest platforms for wealth creation and preservation, we now have a very special position in the country in that we can bring you some of the best, most thoughtful, expert-driven ways to protect and grow your wealth. And I'm going to share some of those with you now. I've got 10 ways that we can potentially help you or match you with someone who can. The first thing that I want to tell you about is the biggest step we've ever taken at RASC, which is the launch of our RASC Invest platform. This is a platform that lets our team, led by me, invest for you, primarily through low-cost, diversified ETFs. We'll have 3 strategies at launch, and every investor who comes through can pick one of the 3 strategies, being a balanced strategy, a growth strategy, and a high growth strategy. The balanced strategy focuses on passive income, and the high growth strategy focuses on longer term compounding. You will find a link in your podcast player to register your interest. We will be taking off soon. Number 2, if you prefer to DIY your investing, you can join me and over 4,000 members inside RASC Core. That's our full ETF and ASX share research membership community. You can join now and you'll get updated ETF portfolio recommendations every quarter, as well as ongoing ASX and global stock research. Every single month, we call them the All-Star Stocks. You get that alongside the ETF portfolios, as well as other members-only content. It's called RASC Core. Number 3, our first ever partnership with a business other than our own was a business by the name of Blusk, which has since become Flint Group. Flint Group is led by Chris Bates and Christian Stevens, 2 of Australia's most highly regarded mortgage brokers. Already over 200 RASC community members have begun the RASC plus Flint Group mortgage broking process. You can click the link in your podcast player if you're refinancing, investing, a first home buyer, or whatever. You've probably heard Chris on the show many times. Number 4,
you can connect with our most trusted financial advisors. Whether you're 25 years old, just graduated uni and looking to set yourself up, or approaching or in retirement and you've got that nest egg you want to protect and generate a passive income from, you can get in contact with our trusted panel of financial advisors. You can find the link in your podcast player. It's there each and every week. Just click the thing that says financial planning. Number five, if you want specialist insurance advice, as Warren Buffett said, rule number one is don't lose money. And rule number two is don't forget rule number one. Insurance is vitally important, especially when it comes to your number one asset, you. Whether you're a single income household or a couple, and you just want to protect what would happen if. You want to protect your family if something goes wrong. You want to protect your spouse if you lose your job. You want to protect yourself if you hurt yourself on the weekend at footy. Insurance is a way to do that. And I think the best way to do insurance is through a financial planner. And there's a few reasons for that, but one of them is sometimes some insurers will only work with financial advisors, but they can also be your companion as you go through the sometimes daunting process of getting insurance done properly. Sometimes you might not even know, but you're not even covered, even though you think you are. So get the right advice. You'll find a link in the show notes to check that out. Number six, buying property. If you're like me and you're thinking of buying property in the next 12 months, or maybe you've already invested and you're looking to downsize, getting the right advice and being able to build wealth through property is a proven strategy. It might be one of the most contentious, but I think that we have one of Australia's best property coaches in our ranks. That is Pete Wargent. Pete is the host of the now super popular Australian Property Podcast by Rask, and he's also my analyst team's macro consultant. So if you're a member of RASCOR, you will have seen Pete's name around the traps. He's a property coach and buyer's agent, and he works with a select number of people each and every year. Just a note on this, this is not a commercial thing with Pete. Pete just has great services, so we offer them to the community. And when he fills up, he fills up. You can find out more about Pete's coaching in the show notes. Next up, tracking your portfolio for tax. I think you are, because I think you have to. So we've partnered with Nevexa to help you manage your share and ETF reporting, whether it's tax or performance. All RASK users get 20% off an annual plan with Nevexa. You can sync your portfolio with Nevexa's software and it automatically tracks your dividends, your capital gains tax, and more. Again, not a commercial partnership. We don't make anything from working with Nevexa, but they do create some great tools which the RASK community uses each and every day. Number eight, want to run your own business? Maybe you already do. If you want more profit, but less stress, less time consumed, and less energy lost, get in contact. We have a partner business called Inflection. The Inflection Accelerator Program is a complete online course that helps you and a community of members engage and follow a proven strategy for growing your business. I'm grateful to be one of the coaches inside the Accelerator program, helping business owners right across Australia. You can find more following the link in your podcast player. It's the one that says coaching. Number nine, if you haven't already checked it out, join over 20,000 other people who tune into the RASK YouTube channel. It is completely free and you get notified when we go live and when we publish podcast episodes. There is a podcast on the RASK network each and every day, as well as bite-sized material that's less than 60 seconds, or those really punchy tutorials and webinars that are just 15 minutes that take you through a really exciting topic, whether it's how to buy a property, whether it's how to pick a dividend ETF. Some of our most popular content actually just explains things like, what the heck is franking credits and how do I calculate if I've got some? That's on our YouTube channel. Number 10, if you want to be a better investor, a saver, a better partner with money, or just understand your own relationship with money, you can do that. All of that by going to the RASK Education website and taking a free course. We've enrolled over 26,000 students at the time of this recording, and we are on a mission to get to 100,000 in the next few years. RASK Education is our mostly free education platform, covering everything from budgeting and automation to the probably, I would say, the best value investing program in the country. So whether you're a value investor, an intermediate investor, you want to know how to value Woolworths shares, or you simply just want to understand what ethical investing is or buy your first property and what actually happens on settlement day, head to the RASC Education website and enroll in something today. It is free and it supports us, because then I can come on here next month and I can say we've got 27,000. And hopefully we reach critical mass where we can help more Australians manage their money better. Thank you for listening to this long-winded ad. If you want to get in contact with me, you know where to go. There's a link in your show notes. Basically, these 10 services, even though some of them we don't make any money from, support RASC and allow us to produce these podcasts, attract the biggest and best guests from Australia and around the world, and bring them to you to answer your questions. Thank you for being part of the RASC network, and thank you for your ongoing support. Bye for now.